Thank you, God, for this morning to come together to worship, to broaden our eyes, to broaden our thought process of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to learn how to live our life in His mission, God. And we know things about it, and some of this might be review for us, and some of this might be groundbreaking, and some of this, I just hope that our hearts are drawn closer to wanting to follow and seek after Your mission. God, I pray that You would just be working, the Holy Spirit working through us to, God, challenge us and ready us for the journey of living our life in Your mission. Thanks, God, in Christ's name. Amen. You may have heard that term, missional life, leading a life of the mission of Christ, leading or following the mission of God. You may have heard the fancy word for it, the missio Dei, the mission of God. It's Latin. It's just a fancy way to say living the mission of God. But we hear those terms, but it's sometimes hard to know how do we do that. And I think the best way to do that is to look back at Jesus' life and say, well, what did we see Jesus do? And how can we apply that to our life? So we're going to turn to Luke 6. If you have a Bible with you and you want to turn to Luke 6, starting in verse 12, you can do that. If not, it'll be up here on the board. I'm sorry if this blocks some of you guys from seeing some of this. Hopefully the whiteboard won't get in the way too much. Yeah, I'll tell you what, until we use it, I'll bring it down just for you guys. So you can see these verses. These particular verses are also in your outline or in your program. If you open it up to the middle, you can see those verses and take any notes there that you want. It says, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he designated apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them. We'll stop right there. We're going to look at kind of three principles we see about Jesus' life. We're just going to see these real quick and then see how maybe those apply to our own life as well. And we'll go back to verse 12 there. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Okay. What do we draw from this? You know, some of those Bible studies I think are really good, where you like work in a workbook. Some of them it's like, you know, what do we see from this principle? And the answer is like so blatant you don't even want to write it down, right? That's what we're going to have right now. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. What can we draw from that? Let's look at the next slide. Jesus, God the Son, spent time with God the Father, right? We see him, you know, continuing that relationship, fulfilling that part of his life, interacting with God the Father. And he went away to do that in that particular time. Many times he did that amongst crowds of people. So we can see clearly that Jesus, God the Son, spent time with God the Father. All right. Continuing forward, when morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. And we go through all the apostles, right? And then if you go down to verse 17, he went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there. Okay, so Jesus was hanging out. He picked these 12 people, right? First he went and spent some time with God. Then he picked these 12 people who was going to invest his life into, who was going to care for. And then he went down from the mountain, and then a whole lot more of his followers were there too, a bunch of people that had started following him. And again, we see a clear principle from this, which is this. Jesus had a great group of followers that he spent his life with, right? He had these 12 guys that were his kind of dudes, the main dudes he was spending his time with and investing his life with and really giving like the start of the church to, as well as all these other followers that were around him. Let's go to the next. And a number, so he hung out, he was hanging out with all these people, right? A large crowd of his disciples were there. And a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, had come to hear him and be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and all the people tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. So what do we see from this? Okay, Jesus reached out to people, bringing healing, hope, and connection to himself, right? For us, often our goal is to bring people to understand and to know Jesus. It was a little bit easier for Jesus because it was like bring people to himself, right? So Jesus reached out to people, bringing healing, hope, and connection to himself. So these three principles, if we go to the next one, Jesus, God the Son, spent time with God the Father. Jesus had a great group of followers he spent his life with. Jesus reached out to people, bringing healing, hope, and connection to himself. Now, if you've been around LCF for a little bit, for recently, this may look familiar to you, and you may be able to find three words out of this that are kind of what this is talking about, that kind of encapsulate. Does anybody know what those three words are? We had both of them. We had invest, invite, inspire, which is, yes, our mission, and that is very true, and that does fit into this very well. But the one I was specifically looking for, which some of you guys said, is up, out, and in, right? We have this up relationship with God, and now here comes the whiteboard. Somebody called me culturally relevant for bringing a whiteboard. I was like, okay, well, if it's that easy, I'll just carry it around with me everywhere I go, right? If you think about it, we've got this relationship with God, right, that we need to cultivate our time we spend with God. And really, this should encapsulate our entire life. If we're really thinking missionally, if we're really thinking about everything, this should be everything about life. But if we think of this more as times where we're really just singularly focused on spending time with God and things like that, you kind of go with it with a grain of salt because really, obviously, we should be seeking God all the time. Then we have our in, right? Our times where we're spending time with other believers, where we're spending time in fellowship, where we're spending time hanging out, getting to know, building those relationships. We'll see. I don't know if you guys can fully see that over here. And then we have the out. You know, when we're walking about our daily lives, the people that we hang out with, the people that we're spending time with, those relationships as well are very important to the kingdom. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to erase this triangle real quick because I want us to think about these as Venn diagrams. Okay, we're going to go back to our math days, right? Whatever grade math that was. And so this up relationship that we have, and then we have an in relationship, right? And then we have an out relationship. You like this? They're kind of ovals. I'm not a real good artist. Yes, there's no overlap. Very good. Somebody caught that. Good. Because what I'm drawing here, good, very good catch, is the way my life kind of looked my freshman year here at Tech. I came in, and I had been a believer for about 3 years, been following Jesus, and I was trying to do some times where I would spend time with, okay, maybe this is not quite right. Hold on, maybe we'll do this. Maybe we'll put just a little bit like that. Okay, right, and there's really no connection up here. Okay, you like that? It's kind of ovaly, kind of egg, kind of a weird egg. You wouldn't want to eat that one probably. My life was very disconnected. I would try to go and I would spend some time with the Lord in the morning or some point. I would try to read some scripture at some point during the day. I wasn't always faithful about it, but I generally tried to do it most of the time. I'd pray some. And then I went to a Bible study, but I never really invested my life into it. And I didn't feel like they were really interested in investing their life in me. And I could have just been blind to it. It could have just been, I don't know what it could have been. They very well might have been really trying to kind of reach and hang out with me. But really, I spent kind of an hour a week at this Bible study. And then I went away and I had no real overlap with the rest of my life. And then I went to church on Sunday morning, but it was kind of the same way. It didn't really overlap with the rest of my life. And then I had the folks that I was really trying to reach out to. For me, it was the Marching Virginians. Any Marching Virginians? All right, okay, there we go. They're there. Very good. And the folks in East AJ, which there's going to be no what's for that because right now it's being torn apart, which was so sad because I wanted to show my son my old room, but that didn't happen because it was being torn apart. But I was spending time with the people in East AJ, and but really the MVs were kind of my main focus, and a lot of the MVs lived in East AJ at that time, so that was really nice. And I knew three other Christians plus myself in the Marching Virginians at that point. And I was like, and I really didn't interact with the other three all that much. And so it was my goal, you know, we say we're 330 strong, so it's my goal, well, I guess I've got to help the other 226 find out about Jesus somehow. And that was me. I was kind of this lone ranger hanging out, trying to tell people about Christ. But these places never interacted. The people that I was hanging out with here weren't really over here, and I wasn't really interacting my time with God into the rest of my life very much, and it felt like a very disconnected life. But the thing I like about Jesus is he didn't do that. These things overlapped a whole lot more in Jesus' life, obviously, because he was God. So anytime he interacted with anybody, it was up and something interacting. But let's look at a couple verses. Matthew 17, 1 through 8. I think this we see that God's relationship with his Father, Jesus' relationship with his Father, and the relationship with his disciples interacting. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led him up a high mountain by themselves. And there was transfigured before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. So this is a pretty cool event that's taking place here all of a sudden. It's these people who haven't been around for a long while are suddenly there talking with Jesus. And Peter gets excited. He's like, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll make some shelters, right? You know, I'll make one for you, and I'll make one for Moses, and I'll make one for Elijah. And while this is happening, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. I'm guessing Jesus had other times where he interacted with God the Father that were like that. But on this particular occasion, Jesus said, it would be so good for these other disciples to find out, to see this, to witness this, to be a part of it. And Jesus very purposely intersected that time with his Father with those that were closest to him, with those who were following him, with those who were seeking him. And Jesus did this all the time. Let's go to the next one. We see kind of the up and the out of Jesus' life intersect. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came into town. Some men brought him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man already has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat, and go home. Then the man got up and went home, and when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe and praised God who had given such authority to man. Okay, so now these people who are kind of watching, hanging out here in his out, are now exposed, right, to God the Father doing something special and amazing here in this moment, Jesus the Son doing something amazing, and this up and this out relationship of Jesus start to intermesh, and things start to happen, and people start to believe, and they start to follow, and they start to seek. And obviously, all the time, his out and his in relationships were intermingling. We just read this back in Luke 6. It said, he went down with them and stood in a level place. A large crowd of his disciples were there, right? All these guys over here. And all these people from these different places, from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon and Judea and Jerusalem, who had come to hear him, to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and all the people tried to touch him because power was coming out from him and healing them all. And really, this is a moment, and the reason why I chose this verse for today is this is a moment when all of these things intersect, right? All, you know, these people that Jesus was reaching out to and his disciples are learning and growing from this moment. And then, you know, the Father's doing some great things in and through him. And bam, we've got all of a sudden this area here where the three of them intersect, where God and the followers of Jesus and the people who are not followers of Jesus start to intersect, and God starts to do some amazing, amazing things. This kind of finally happened in my life about 2.5 years into school. A buddy of mine who lived down the hall in East AJ, who was a marching band member, who was a fellow trombone player, he starts getting getting invited to this church by these gals, and he's like, "Yeah, I'll go with you. Just call me on Sunday morning." So they call, and he's like, "Oh, I'm too tired, man. I was out last night. I can't go. I'll go next week." Gets another call next week. You know, "Oh no, I'm kind of hungover. I can't go." Gets a call. "That's okay. No worries, Corey." Gets a call the next week. 6 weeks later. And he kept saying, "Like, I want you to call. I really want to do this." But each Sunday he was like, "No, maybe I won't." And that Sunday, he goes, and he gets inspired, and he starts coming back, and he starts being a part of things, and he goes on this spring break trip, and he eventually decides to start following Jesus. And all of a sudden, these worlds started to interact with me, because he invites me to this church that he's going to. I had never been there. It was this small little church called NLCF. It was about 100 people. And it met in this very room, surprisingly enough. And all of a sudden, I started looking around, and I started seeing other Marching Virginians that were there with us, and they were going to this home group together, so I started getting together with them in this home group, and we were all kind of hanging out, and all of a sudden, these relationships over here, were merging, and I was like, "Wow, there's other people who are followers of Jesus who are the Marching Virginians who have the same heart and have the same mindset that I have about reaching and caring for the people in the Marching Virginians, and we're studying the Scripture together, and we're bringing God into it." And all of a sudden, like, all these things started happening around us, and people started being interested about God and wanting to follow Christ, and it was just such an amazing experience. It was so cool to watch God kind of work in the midst of where those things intersected. And I could tell you a bunch of stories about that time, but the main story I want to tell you is about a guy named Varesh. Guys called him V. That was kind of his nickname. Varesh had something interesting about him. Varesh could string together the craziest amounts of curse words I have ever heard in my entire life. You know those rap songs where, like, you listen to them on pop radio and so much is bleeped out, you have no idea what the person's talking about, right? Because it's just like, "And then I would bleep, and then bleep," and you're like, "What is going on? I can't even follow what this guy's talking about," because half the song is bleeped out. Varesh had a way to interweave all of those words and yet still allow it to make some sort of congruent sense. But every once in a while, he just decided he had had enough, and he would just string together this long run-on sentence that was just curse words. And it was kind of almost amazing to watch that this guy could go for so long. Some of those words, what does that even mean? I don't even know. Like, coming up with words that I don't even know how to say. And we got into this conversation one day about, he was asking me, why do I never hear you curse? Like, I started talking about, I'm a follower of Jesus, and, I just kind of feel like, my conviction is kind of that, I shouldn't let unclean things come out of my mouth. And, it's kind of a scripture, and some Christians feel a little bit differently on that than I do, but I kind of feel like, it's just what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be, like, thinking pure thoughts and those type things. So he eventually came up with this joke, and it was funny, but he really kind of meant it, where he walked up one day, he's like, "I just feel like this room," and he was pointing into my room, "is kind of like, it's kind of like holy ground." And he's like, "I feel like it's just kind of like a no curse zone. Like, where I should be just holier than I normally am. And so he got to this habit where he would stand outside my door and he'd just walk by and he'd be like, tick-tock, tick-tock, like it, and just cursing up a blue streak. And then he'd hop in my room and he'd be like, shucks, darn, shoot. And then he'd step back out and he'd curse again, and then he'd walk back in and be like, shucky darn. And it was really funny, and he'd walk by the hall and just do it. I'd hear him walking up the hall. Bleep, 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 bleep. And then he'd walk in, shoot. And then he'd just keep on walking down the hall, right? And it was funny, and we had a good time with it, and we laughed. But eventually, as he started getting to know more of the folks that we were hanging out with, and as he started spending time, he started getting really interested in what we were doing and interested about God. He's like, I kind of want to know what this is about. So he started coming to NLCF. Now, Varesh, Corey and I were usually on stage, and we were the main two people that were reaching out. So Varesh would sit right about right here where you two guys are sitting. Sorry to kind of like make this a little awkward, but hey, TBS. Hey, very good. Another Marching Virginian right here. Very good. Very good. How about that? Appropriate that she would be sitting in this seat where Varesh would normally sit. Because that's where he would sit. And he would always come in this like suit, like dressed to the nines, and I was like, Varesh, man, you know this, we're kind of casual, it's okay. You don't have to wear a suit. I mean, if you want to, you can. He's like, I like to look good. Like, okay, that's cool. But he would always sit back here, and that was just kind of his spot, and I knew if I was up on stage I could find Varesh. And he started having this interest in following Jesus and being a part of it. And being a part of this community. And I'd love to tell you, like, he's a missionary in South Africa right now, you know, and like, his life was totally turned upside down. And it was, because Jesus started getting an effect on his life. He's just a normal guy. He's a band director somewhere. I don't even remember where he's a band director. Got a wife, had a kid or two. But his life was affected and it was changed as these relationships started to merge in his life. All of a sudden, these people that had been kind of here for him, even though he wouldn't define it as this, you know, all of a sudden he started meeting all these people that were interested in the same thing, that were doing the same thing, that were all of a sudden, he was realizing, man, there's a lot of people who want to follow Jesus. And we started having spiritual conversation, and that relationship with God started intersecting with that. And his life started to change and started to move. And I think it's had a long-term effect on Varesh's life. And there are so many other stories like that. You can see them in the Bible. You can see them in the Scripture. We read one in Luke 6 today. Whereas this relationship with God that we have and our relationship with each other as followers of Jesus and our relationship to the rest of the world start to intersect, God starts to move and do things. Not like he can't do it if they're not all intersecting just the right way, but I feel like that's a place where he starts to move. And that's part of our thought process in these engaged groups you've been hearing about, right? Where there are these groups, you know, we've had these kind of traditional home groups, and they've lived in this kind of spot where there have been cool things like that going on. But we wanted to kind of intentionalize that, right? We'd had 17 years of home groups and life groups, and sometimes you just need to kind of change things up a little bit. And we wanted to intentionalize those relationships merging. You know, somebody loves to run and hike, or to run, let's say, you know, and they like casual running, or they like whatever running, and they you know, all of a sudden they start meeting other people who are following Jesus who love to run, and they start studying the Scripture together. Maybe they're studying that, run the race with endurance verse or something like that, and they're spending time with God together, and then all of a sudden they're meeting other people who like to run as well, who have that same shared interest and are looking for community, and all of a sudden these worlds are starting to intersect, and God starts to move in people's hearts. We've already started hearing stories from folks where God's moving in people's hearts, and it's just an awesome thing to watch. Maybe you like hiking and outdoors. Maybe you live in Lee Hall or New Hall West. Maybe you're a gamer, right? That's a group I want to go to sometime, play a little Settlers of Catan or something. maybe you're performing arts, a fan of the performing arts or intramural sports. You like to do those. You like to cook and bake. Now, we put the Marching Virginians one up here. We're kind of helping Alex and some of the leadership folks kind of have some more vision and direction with it. But they've already been doing this for about 2.5 years. And it's awesome. And I keep thinking to myself, man, I wish I'd thought of that when I was there. You know, this didn't kind of happen, but it didn't happen like it wasn't intentional. It just kind of happened. Obviously God was putting it together, but it's been so awesome. And Alex was meeting with a bunch of us, and he's like, the beautiful thing is this works. This is what happens. This is what God does. And it's been cool to watch and see that from the outside. I use that word intentional a couple of times. That's kind of what we wanted to do, to intentionalize these relationships coming together in our life. Our life can sometimes feel real disconnected, like mine was my freshman year, where I go and kind of spend a little time with God, and then I might go to Bible study once a week or something, or might come to church on Sundays, and then I kind of go and live the rest of my life out here, and those worlds don't intersect. And I think hopefully these engaged groups, the reason for them is to help those worlds, those relationships that we have, intersect. And the reason why we do it comes back to that verse we're reading in Luke 6. In so many other verses that we read along the way, where we see Jesus doing that with his life, right? Jesus, the Son of God, walking around, living life, meeting people, inviting them into relationship with them, with himself, building into them, spending time with them, and then intermingling with the rest of the world. And as that happened, amazing things were going on. It was really cool to watch. And we're already starting to hear, like I said, some of those stories, and we're going to be sharing some of those stories along the way. But if you haven't had a chance to get involved in either one of these engaged groups, or we do have, if none of these groups kind of fit where you are right now, we do have two traditional home groups going on as well, one on Wednesday and one on Thursday. But this is a great time to get involved. We've really mixed up everything, and people are new. Everybody's new to everybody else, right? Because the old relationships that people had, now they're interested in other things and they're being a part of it. So this is a great time to get involved. If that's something that you're interested in, write that on your info card. There's places where you can check off and put your name and your info. I feel like God is doing something special here over the next however long God kind of goes with this. I feel like cool things are going on and they're going to continue. I hope we can all kind of be a part of that together. So let's pray. God, I thank you for these groups, God, these engaged groups that are starting, that are just now getting started, God. God, we know the purpose. We've been thinking about this for a long time. God, I pray that they would really begin to fulfill that purpose, to intersect these parts of our lives, God, in a way that maybe they've never been intersected before. God, we want to live our life on your mission, God, that missio Dei, that mission of God, that Jesus' mission on the earth, emulating that. God, we want to be a part of that. And God, I pray for each of us, God, that you would set that in our hearts to want to be a part of that as well. God, that you would even right now, just with your Holy Spirit, be speaking to us and God, kind of showing us maybe ways that we could be a part of that. God, I thank you for each and every person in this room and for your heart for them. God, and each and every person that walks around on the Tech campus or the Radford campus or the NRV campus or anybody in this area and across the country and across the world that you have a heart for, that you love. God, you care about us. God, your desire is that all would come to know you, God, and help us to be a part of that process. Thanks, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.